teams, athletes, coaches, and everything that makes local high school sports great. Now, back to the Rudin Report on WICC with Dave Rudin.
Good morning and welcome to the Rudin Report Live. I'm Dave Rudin. It's been a pretty busy sports weekend between football and state championships going on. Sean's warming up in the bullpen, and he's going to join me in a little bit, and we'll review the football weekend. And we're going to have Davis Crandall from the Staples football team coming up as the Wreckers get ready for Greenwich on Thanksgiving. A bunch of Wild State playoff games going on. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about it. One I haven't seen, I don't think I've ever seen last night, where the St. Joseph girls soccer team lost a heartbreaker 2-1 on a goal scored literally with 1 second left in the game. But it's rare that I actually get to preview a game right before it's going to happen. But coming up this afternoon, in a couple of hours, the New Canaan girls soccer team is going to be going for its first state title since 2009. And joining me right now are two of the stars from the team, Sydney Patton and Paige Place. Ladies, how you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm getting ready to go up to Hartford from here, and I hope you guys are going to give me something good to write about.
You too. We will.
So what's the mood right now? Is you leave at noon? What do you guys feel, and what do you guys like before a game? Are you nervous, excited, a little bit of everything?
I mean, we just got back from our team breakfast with everyone, and I think everyone's, like, super excited. I think, you know, I mean, this year, I think we're embracing the competition, and we're excited to see the game, but I think everyone's feeling good and just happy to be there.
Yeah, it's special to get to play for a state title, so we're all excited.
It's got to be a mixed feeling for you seniors, and this is a real veteran team in that you're going to get to hopefully go out and accomplish something and complete one of the best seasons in school history, but it's also going to be the last time you all play together.
Yeah, I think we're a really special group, and I think, like, I was just joking with some of the other seniors, and we won, like, a big tournament, like the PT Cup, when we were really little. And so, like, all together, and so this is just kind of, like, a full circle moment to be here. And so I think it's sad, but it's also, like, we did all we could do. And yeah. So today we'll just kind of hopefully complete the full circle.
This has been kind of an ongoing storyline of mine, and I know, at least Sydney, I've talked to you a little bit about it, but you guys opened the season 1-2. You lose a couple of tough one-goal games to two quality sides, Staples and Fairfield Ludlow. And then you guys have just been on a heck of a streak. You guys finished the regular season 10-1-1, and you guys have been a perfect 7-0 in the playoffs. You won your first FCAC title since 2009, beating St. Joseph on penalty kicks. At 1-2, and I know I talked to your coach Rich Hickson about it, he said you guys were obviously not happy that you lost twice, but you guys weren't really down because you knew you played close games against two good teams. What do you all see it the same way? Were you discouraged at 1-2?
No, not really at all, because, you know, losing first game in Staples was definitely, like, tough, but right after that game, we knew that we were going to see them again later in the season, and I think that, you know, losing, like, going 1-2 was definitely, like, hard, but I think it gave us more motivation during the season. Just, you know, we're definitely going to see these teams again. We're a good team, and then, you know, we brought that energy for the next couple games during the regular season, and that's kind of what's been, like, the momentum, you know, this entire season.
Are you surprised by how dominant you've been? You, number one, you play in the arguably the best league in the state. So to beat the teams you had to beat to get to the FCAC final, and the only game you've lost since that 1-2 start was a 1-0 game to St. Joseph, and that was decided late in the game. And then second to last game of the year, you played Ridgefield to a draw, and Ridgefield made it to the Double L semifinals. Did you expect to be this good?
I mean, I think, like, kind of from preseason, like starting all the way at the beginning, I think if you told me right now we have won FCS in states, I would have said, like, wow, I wouldn't have guessed that. But I think, like, I think this year, just like our team has just really come together, like our back five, including Chrissy. Just we're all athletic. We have such good center backs, such good fullbacks, and then a great goalie. And so I think like that's so solid. And then our midfield is great with like Whitney, Sydney, and me. And I think we're like experienced on that. And then again, our forwards with Claire, Phoebe, and Julia. I think like they're all working together. And I just think like this year is just a combination of like 4 years of really hard work. And so like, while like I would be surprised that we're here, I think like coming like how we play and our results, like I'm not at all surprised that we've made it this far.
I think one of the strengths of the team is you're probably as balanced a team as there is in the one of the most balanced teams that there is in the state. And if I'm an opposing coach and I'm getting ready, if I'm Sacred Heart Academy right now, I don't know where I would say we can pick this part of the team apart. You guys are just really strong. You have to see it the same way. I mean, if you were an opposing coach, how would you play you?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you kind of look at us and you're like, it's not like their defense is worse than their offense or their offense is worse than their defense. I think like our team is just like so good throughout. So I think that's like what makes us like really strong. I mean, I don't really even know how you would even say anything bad about our team. I mean, we have a phenomenal goalie. Mm-hmm. We score lots of goals, and our defense has let in like
I think two goals max in a game.
So I mean, you can't really say anything bad about our team. So
I think to be us, you have to have, as a coach, I would say we need 11 players on the field who are like just as good as one another, and I think like that's New Canaan. I think that's how you beat us. Yeah.
Which is one reason why you've only lost one since then. We haven't found many teams that can stack up with you guys. What about the defense? Gets so much attention and deservedly so, but you guys do a good job finishing as well. And even though you're a senior dominated team, you know, Claire Greisen's been one of the great additions to the team. She's a sophomore, transferred from Sacred Heart in Greenwich, and she's just having a heck of a tournament. She scored 8 goals in the 4 state playoff games, 5 goals in the last 2 games, and she scored your first 2 goals the other night in the semifinals. What has her addition meant to the team? And did you guys even know her before she showed up at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I mean, me and Paige play club soccer, so with her at the same club, so we definitely knew her coming in.
Club school together.
But yeah, she's definitely been an amazing addition to this team. You know, she really came in and kind of clicked with all of us, and you know, it's been like awesome, you know, having someone up there that has been able to put the ball in the back of the net. But yeah, she's just been amazing for us.
Yeah, I think she's like a couple of her strengths specifically are like she knows how to play the game, so like the midfield is super easy to get her the ball. And also she's super athletic. So she does a great job of picking off. Like if defenders take a bad touch, she's there. It's going in the back of the net. Like yeah. She's great at taking advantage of players' mistakes. And that's what helped us the most this season, I think.
I know, Sydney, we talked a little bit about this after the semifinal, but you have a decent amount of girls who also play lacrosse. And your lacrosse team has been one of the best, not just in the state, in the country. And last year, you guys swept FCAC and states and finished number 5 in the country. When you have a soccer team that's been solid, but you're trying to get to that next level, how much is just knowing how to win and having the success that you did in lacrosse, how much did that make a difference for you?
I think it helps a lot. You know, us lacrosse girls have definitely had experience when it comes to, you know, playing for FCAC titles and state titles. So, you know, we try our best to just bring like what we like our knowledge and our experience and try to just like, you know, calm our teammates down and, you know, tell them like give them motivation and just like ease the nerves. But yeah, it's definitely been like a lot easier, you know, coming into these games just because, like, we have this, like, experience. But, you know, soccer is definitely different. You know, it's more, it's a lot less pressure, I'd say. You know, we're out here and, you know, we've never competed for these titles. I mean, at least in my 4 years, we've never had, like, an FCAC. No, we've never even been in an FCAC game and a state title game. So, you know, it's been an amazing season, but lacrosse has definitely helped, I would say.
Does that make it any different feeling from lacrosse? Lacrosse, you know it's going to come down to you and Darian, and it's a big rivalry. And we already know that you guys have that excellence in lacrosse. Now that you're having success, this level of success for the first time in a while, is it a different kind of satisfaction?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, each year for lacrosse, it's like, you know, we know we're going to try to end up at FCAC title and a state title. But, you know, with soccer, we kind of come into the season. And like Paige said before, I mean, if you told us at the beginning we were going to make it to these like two different games, I would have been like, I don't believe you. But it's definitely a different feeling. You know, it's a lot like, I'd say just like it's a lot less pressure just because it's like, you know, we're going out here and we're just going to play our hardest as a team, you know, from New Canaan. We have nothing to lose, really. We're just going out here. We're playing a game that we love all together as seniors. It's a really big, like, class. We've all been with each other for such a long time. So it's just, like, enjoyable out there to play with each other. And, you know, lacrosse, it's like it's a lot of pressure too as well. I mean, you're playing a rival each year, but I mean, it definitely is a different satisfaction, you know, soccer, because we don't really get to play in these games a lot. So it's, you know, when we get to win and compete, it's just a different type of feeling.
Paige, how much fun has this season been for you and everybody?
Oh my God, it's been like amazing. I think kind of like, I just think I'm so proud of everyone, because like every single game that we've played, except for like maybe a few in the FCAC, has just been so hard fought. And I think we've had to overcome a lot of, like, adversity, and we had to overcome, like, a lot of, like, challenges, and kind of, like, we've just, like, really, like, just every game has been hard-fought, and I just think, like we're here because of our work ethic, and kind of, I also want to say, like, our team is so connected, and so it's just been, like, a really fun season. I think everyone's had fun, and so it's just been a great time, and hopefully we can finish it off on a good note today.
Well, you guys have been a lot of fun for me to cover, and I, like I said, especially from covering some of you for playing lacrosse, I've gotten to know you a little bit, and I can say as talented as you guys are, you all are better people than you are athletes, which is saying something. So I'll tell you what, I will see you up in Hartford in a few hours, and hopefully the next time I talk to you, you guys are wearing championship medals around your neck. So thanks a lot for taking the time here, and best of luck today.
Thank you so much. See you soon.
Okay, and that was Paige Place and Sydney Patton from the New Canaan girls soccer team. Big championship match this afternoon, NFHS, if you want to watch the stream. And we're not going to take a break here, and we're going right from soccer to football. And he's all warmed up in the bullpen, ready to go. Sean Ireland, after taking
How are you?
I don't know. You know, 2 bye weeks, and now you get a little bit of a break. I've kind of missed the sound of your voice. How you doing?
Oh, thanks, Dave. I'm blushing over here. First off, ladies, good luck today. The whole county's rooting for you, girls. Today, go bring home that state championship.
Yeah, they're just such a great bunch of girls. I don't want, you know, I start thinking CeCe Patterson, Emma Rowe. I'm gonna miss somebody, so I don't want to I don't want to start singling people out, but it's been kind of cool, and it'll make the end of a special weekend. Actually, the Ridgefield girls swimming team is competing in states today, and they've already won FCAC and their class meet, and then I'm be shocked if they don't win the state open. They're just a dominant team. And yesterday we had the Staples field hockey team winning their second straight state title with a 5-2 win. And the Darien volleyball team three-peated and came from two sets down to defeat Glastonbury. And then, Sean, I don't know, before we get to football, if you saw, happened to see, just because I put it on social media, how the St. Joseph girls soccer team lost.
Yeah, I did see that. Those poor girls, 1 second. Oh, man, I felt bad for them. So close, but...
That's a horrible way to lose, and you know, for some of the great players on their team. And I watched the replay several times because I was trying to describe it in my story. And I mean, everything for Mercy had to break perfectly, including where the shot was placed, because Helena Kismarek was the goalkeeper. What was positioned, and there was just like the smallest of openings. And I felt bad for the seniors, but as Coach Jack Nogueira said, rightfully, and it sounds like you're kind of painting over something, but it's true. Yeah, the team's legacy is not, and the seniors' legacy isn't the final loss, but it's the three state titles and two FCAC championships. But let's go over to football, and I don't know. I'm still waiting for some big games. This was another blah weekend. I guess the biggest game was Staples' 28-0 win over Trumbull, which I kind of expected to be, you know, a three touchdown game. I just think Trumbull's offense against Staples' defense was not a very good matchup for the Eagles, and Davis Crandall from the Wreckers is going to be joining us in the next segment. But any thoughts on that Staples Trumbull game and anything else that caught your eye this weekend?
Yeah, you said you didn't think Trumbull's offense is a good match for Staples defense. Dave, I don't think any offense is a good match for Staples defense right now. You know, they're playing, that unit is playing unbelievable right now. The one thing that caught my eye, Dave, I went to the Norwalk High game, and this is my first time seeing Ludlow in person. Now, Norwalk isn't strong, but I tell you what, Ludlow's quarterback is legit. That kid can throw the ball. Their tailback is good. I would not want to play that team in the state playoffs. They were clicking on all cylinders on Friday night.
Yeah, I saw them the week before when they beat Wilton in a tough game, and Grant Stupak, the quarterback, is having a great year, and it's going to be interesting how things play out. Number one, it's going to be great that Ludlow is going to get a chance to play in the state playoffs for the first time ever, and good for Mitch Ross and the players on following through, because they've been on the cusp. But you got Darien and New Canaan in Class L also, and Ludlow has already played them. And has had a tough time against them. And right now, that would Darien Ludlow would be the 4-5 game if form held. And we have no way of knowing that's going to be the case. But I'll tell you what, I know talking to Mitch, he wants to play somebody else. Number one, because you don't want to play a league team. You don't really feel like you're in the state playoffs if you play another conference team. But and you got to see him now, too. I wouldn't want to be an opposing coach unfamiliar with the Falcons and have to game plan for them.
Yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, just looking at, you know, again, eight teams make the playoffs, so there's no, you know, there's not much you can do, but it's just terrible when two league teams have to play each other in the first round. After the first round, you know, it is what it is, but it just stinks. Like, I'm hoping, you know, that they get to play a non-FCAC team in that first round just so – you know, I think they have a legit shot. I really do. You know, and again, first time seeing them in person, you know, I see the scores. I'm like, all right, they're putting up massive numbers. But, man, they're just a fine, well-oiled machine right now. You know, their system is unbelievable. You know, the kids are always in the right spot. Defense gave up a couple big plays. You know, I'm sure they got to shore some things up on defense a little bit. But, man, I would not want to play them, especially not knowing their style at all.
I'm guessing the way things are right now from their standpoint in terms of avoiding an FCAC team, it might be in their in their favor for New Canaan to win. And you don't want New Canaan to drop down with Darien, and that might enhance the chances. If New Canaan is a one or is number one or number two, Ludlow's not going to drop down that far, and then you hope somehow you avoid Darien. But I'm guessing from if you're Mitch Ross and you're looking over the landscape, you're probably rooting for New Canaan for no other reason than you just want to avoid an FCAC team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, whatever they need to do to not play Darien New Canaan, and I'm not saying they can't beat them. It's just you know, we did it one time. You know, we made it a stage one time. That's the fun part, going to play a team that you don't know, you know, and you just represent the league. You know, literally there's 16, 15 teams rooting for you. You know, everybody in the league's rooting for you. It's there's not much of a better feeling. But again, it just stinks if you have to play an opponent that you already know.
And Ludlow's games tend to get pretty exciting, as you saw. Norwalk still scored 21 points, and following on Twitter, I think the game was somewhat close for a little while, and Ludlow's defense can occasionally give up the big play here or there, so their games tend to be a little bit more freewheeling, though their defense really stepped up the week before against Wilton.
Yeah, this is a classic game of just the wheels falling off for Norwalk. It was 26-21. Norwalk had the ball around midfield, fourth and five. Norwalk took a sack, you know, maybe 3 minutes ago in the half. Then they score again, and then there was a pick six on the second to last play of the first half. So it went from a five-point game to game over in a matter of 2 minutes. You know, I mean, I would not want to play them. That's the only thing I can say. I would not want to play them.
Well, they should they should be in good shape against Fairfield Ward, and we'll see where that plays out. Boy, it would be great if somehow they could jump up, and you could have Darien, New Canaan, and Ludlow all at home as top four seeds, and then be assured of not having to play each other. But another team, as you said, that I wouldn't want to play is Staples. And they're one of the premier Thanksgiving Day games against Greenwich. And the Wreckers defense, as we're talking about, they've only allowed 27 points in the last six games and 62 overall in their nine games with an 8-1 start. And we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by one of the stars of that Staples defense, linebacker Davis Crandall. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
He knows everything you need to know about local high school sports. Back to the Rudin Report with Dave Rudin on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back and we're still talking football, and we're going to be talking Staples football right now. The Wreckers have just built themselves into a sustainable power over the last few years. And this year, their defense has really been the nucleus of the team. And we saw that Friday night with their 28-0 win over Trumbull. And joining us right now, one of the stars of that unit, linebacker Davis Crandall. Davis, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You guys must be pretty pumped up right now, 8-1, and you get ready for Greenwich. You're already in the state playoffs, and I know you want to try to beat the Cardinals and then set sights on a second straight state title.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, coming into the season, that was always the goal. You know, you want to get out there, you want to win that state championship, got to defend the title from last year, and I think this game against Greenwich, it's going to be a big one this year, and it's really going to show our character, I think.
Do you think it's to your advantage? If you were to lose, you maybe would drop your rankings a little bit, but is it good to get a game? I mean, this could be a state playoff game, and it may be a state playoff game later on down the road, but is it good to get a really tough opponent as you get ready for the state playoffs?
You know, in my opinion, I think it's a great thing. I think it's a blessing for us because I think it's going to help us. It's going to help prepare us for all the amazing teams that we're going to face going into the playoffs. And I think if you just play, you know, so if you don't face challenges along the way, you don't face the adversity, you're never going to be able to reach your goals.
So what's made this defense so good? Obviously, there have been a few starters back from a year ago, most notably you and Cody Goodman, who are Cody Goldman, who are basically tackling machines. What's been the personality of this defense that's made it so good?
Yeah, I think it's the physicality we play with, and honestly, the love for each other we have. You know, the connection and the bond that all of us share. I think it helps us all perform to our best, and you know, we all rely on each other. We lean on each other. And I don't think you can have a good defense without everyone caring for each other and just getting out there and loving the game.
Sean, I'll let you ask something.
Yeah, David, how are you? Sean, hey, first off, great job. I still can't get over your game from 2 weeks ago against St. Joe's. That's just a dream game for you, you know, with the stats that you put up. But, Dave, you just hit the nail on the head of what I want to ask you. Like, you know, you're the starting middle linebacker, you know, arguably the best defense in the state. But it's not just you. It's everybody around you. You know, just talk about, like, you know, what's it like just being able to trust all 10 other guys at the same time, knowing that they're going to do your job, you know, working as one unit.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing feeling. You know, we've got everything from the front seven to our DBs. You know, we have Anthony Armentano. He's a returner. But even the new guys like Justin Halkey, Jake McGeehan, and new defensive linemen as well as Eddie Vandermeer and Amir Williams, who's done an amazing job at nose tackle this year, really stepped up and filled that position that we thought was going to be lacking. But he's done an amazing job holding that front, letting the linebackers scrape over, make the plays. You know, I wouldn't be able to have the performance I had at St. Joe's without the D linemen. So I obviously got to give credit to them. Charlie Leahy, you know, they're amazing.
Yeah, and that's good. Like, Dave, what you just said, like, to play D-line, you can't be selfish. You know what I mean? Your job is pretty much to keep the linebackers free. And the fact that you just mentioned that, I think that's awesome on your part that, you know, you're giving the boys up front credit to let you and, you know, the other guys just run around and make the tackles.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, I have to. After everything, you know, we've been through, Charlie Leahy, he's one of my closest friends. And, you know, after every game, you know, sometimes he'll be like, man, like you got all the plays today, but it's all love. And you know, he has great games too, but you always got to remember the front guys.
Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of funny and I don't quite get it, but in the NFL you watch and they talk the linebackers devalued because everybody's talking now cornerbacks a premier position, defensive tackle for run stopping and obviously pass rushers. I good linebackers make all the difference in the world. So I don't quite understand why they talk about that not being a premier position. But what do you think has been your strengths in terms of being able to make tackles? It's got to be a lot of anticipation as well. Besides the fact, like you said, the defensive line sort of sets the table for you.
Yeah, I think our coaches do a really good job throughout the week, you know, preparing us so that we can just recognize the plays that are going on and just react. You know, you don't want to be, as much as you should be thinking, you don't want to be thinking too much because it'll slow you down. You just want to react, you know, just like that. And I think the way the coaches coach us throughout the week and get us prepared by showing us the plays and going through film, it all helps, like, all the linebackers just react to whatever we're seeing and go make the play.
As somebody who grew up in Westport as a Staples grad and real close to the town, you look at some of the established powers and the big thing, Darien, New Canaan, Greenwich, it's youth football and how they're a feeder system. And obviously the strength of Staples football these last 6-7 years, A, has been the arrival of Adam Behrens, a coach, and the job he's done and putting a good staff together. But talk about, is from what you can see and going through it, is PAL football in Westport, has that changed a lot? And how big a difference has that made for the high school program?
Yeah, I mean, I think I honestly don't know too much about how the PAL program has changed, but I think Coach Behrens has done a good job, like, getting involved. If I'm correct, I'm pretty sure he, like, you know, integrates some of the high school plays down there, so some of the kids can start learning. And I think also there's a big presence with the high schoolers now in PAL. I mean, yesterday, myself and a couple kids on the varsity team went down and supported a third grade championship game, a third and fourth, like, PAL game, just to go show out and show that, you know, we're all here, we're caring. And I think that makes all the difference in the world when the kids are, like, knowing that football pays off and everyone cares about football, and it's a big commitment, but, you know, it pays off.
If you go on the Staples football social media account, you always see pictures of the players doing a community service, which has been a big thing, and getting involved with the youth programs and being a presence there. Do the young kids, do they know who you are and they look at you as celebrities?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. You know, I mean, going down, sometimes we'll go work clinics, and it's honestly a great feeling to just have the kids, like, know who you are and be like, oh my gosh, like it's so and so. It's a great feeling. But honestly, like, I don't think we would be in that scenario without being the football team we are and playing at the standard we do, so that the younger kids can look up to us and see what football is really all about.
We got some kids walking around with Davis Crandall autographs right now.
Not yet. Might have to get out there, though.
Okay, we got to publicize you a little bit more. Sean, I'll let you. We got Greenwich Staples. I'll let you share any thoughts you have or ask Davis about that game.
Yeah, no, Davis, there's not. I mean, you guys are rolling right now. You know, obviously Greenwich is going to be one of the stronger opponents you play. You know, I just want to wish you best of luck, man. This is my first time ever talking. You just sound like a great person. You know, keep doing what you're doing, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks.
Davis, you and Greenwich kind of got paired together by need, and there's really, when it first happened, there was no real past with your programs, and there's no proximity like there is, say, with a Darien New Canaan. But A, because both your programs have been so good the last few years, and B, you guys have played some of the wildest games. What's the nature of the rivalry like?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's honestly one of the biggest and greatest games of the year. I mean, I can remember where I was during every single year of my high school career. You know, freshman year at Greenwich, heartbreaking loss, didn't make the playoffs that year. Sophomore year, we won that game. It was a crazy shootout. Junior year, last year, not as crazy as I was anticipating, but I mean, our team was amazing last year, and it was still a super fun game to play in. Great defensive stand, and I'm hoping for the same this year, so we'll see.
All right, well, Davis, you're just we got to come up with a good nickname for you, the way you're just like a tackling machine. Tackling machine's not really, I don't know, you kind of a throwback. You're too young to remember. Sean, you remember Mike Curtis?
Oh yeah,
he reminds me of like a Mike Curtis. You can Google him, Davis. That was a compliment. So,
yeah,
old Colts linebacker. He was a tackling machine, too. Well, Davis, listen, congratulations on the success both you've had individually and the team has had. And thanks a lot for taking the time here. And I'm going to look forward to seeing what you and the team do against Greenwich and then going forward in the state playoffs.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, that was Davis Crandall of the Staples football team. We're going to take a final break, and when we come back, Sean and I will toss it around. You're listening to the Rudin Report Live.
On WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Now, back to the Rudin Report and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back for our final segment. Sean, I got to tell you, I was thinking about this about midway through. People ask me, I've been lucky enough to cover sports on the college and professional level, and I came back to, I left and realized I loved this so much, and people ask me, you know, why would you want to cover high school sports when you could do college or pro? We haven't had, you heard the new Canaan girls, you just listen to all these kids that I've had on, and why they represent themselves and their teams and their schools so well. Why wouldn't you want to be around when you get to be around people like these kids are?
Yeah, Dave, all the student athlete guests you've had this year, they just seem like great people, you know, especially Davis. Like I said before, I never met him spoken, but you could just tell he's just a great kid. The two girls you had on today were great. The kids you've had on, I mean, they're just great kids. They're great kids.
It's really they're fun to be around, and I mean they keep me young. And you know what it's like from all your years of coaching. It makes it fun. Yeah. I'm sure you found too. And you teach too, so you're in the classroom. Being around quality kids just kind of keeps you younger.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I hope so. I don't feel younger sometimes, but yeah, we could go with that.
It's not, or I'm just really immature for my age. I go back and forth between which one it is. Sometimes I think I'm just immature, but it's kind of a little premature to talk Thanksgiving football, but we can bounce it around. I know my goal. I think next week is, since they're the two premier games, that we try to get the Staples, Greenwich, Darien, New Canaan coaches on, or at least somebody, a player from each of the teams, and kind of hype the game up that way. I'm going to text them after. But before we even look that far ahead, you know, so one thing I wanted to ask you before even looking at some of these other games, how is a coach? Okay, now you're off for a week and a half. Your schedule is totally thrown off. You basically have some extra days. How did you handle it? Did you give the guys either time off the first few days, or just kind of light practices and film work? Or how do you handle this extra half week that you get off?
Yeah, we always gave them a couple days off. I haven't done it in a while, but I believe we would bring the kids in on the first day. They would come in on Tuesday, and that Tuesday was just watching. Like the coaches, we did not take a day off. We would break down film, put together our game plans and stuff like that. Tuesday, we would show them their film. I'm just going to say Brian McMahon, because obviously that's who we always played. We would show McMahon film on Tuesday, and then practices were a bit shorter, but they were crisp. You know, and then when we got to set, I'm sorry, for this week. So, you know, we'd be on the field, 2 hours tops, very rarely 2 hours. And then Saturday, it was more like, okay, this is it. Now, like all the stuff's in the, you know, one of our coach had the saying, the hay's in the barn. I always love practicing Saturday at 10:30 in the morning, because the sun's at the same angle. The kids got to get up, you know, you got to be ready to play early in the morning that you're not used to. So we always practice at 10:30 on Saturday. And then, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, the kids are flying around. It's, I don't want to say not walkthroughs, you know, but there's no hitting. There's zero contact. you know, and we're just getting our stuff done.
Now, we could talk about for a minute, and this is something I wrote about this week. There's getting to be a little bit more of an outcry from people who want to change the football schedule. And to do that, you would have to move the Thanksgiving games. And I kind of have mixed feelings on this, but this has been a really weird year from a scheduling standpoint in that everything is dictated by when Thanksgiving falls on. So this year we started a week late. People forget that there were like 10 days of sports other than football being played before the first football games. So you almost had like a week off late to start the season. You have your bye week, and now, you know, we sit around a little bit. And I'm kind of wondering the people who want to change the football schedule and do away with Thanksgiving. If there wasn't Thanksgiving football this year, they could have started a week early and you could have gotten the whole season done by the end of November. And I have mixed feelings. I mean, number one, everybody loves Thanksgiving football. I don't want to be done with it. But by the same token, you'd have a really good football schedule if you started early and had everything done, because ideally we shouldn't really be playing football in December here.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Thanksgiving football. You know, it gives every single kid in the league. It doesn't matter if you're New Canaan. It doesn't matter if you're Danbury. It doesn't matter if you're Norwalk, Ridgefield, Stanford. Every kid is excited right now to play on that game. Doesn't matter what their record are. You know, I believe Stanford High does not have a win. I guarantee this is going to be their best practice week of the year because they're playing their rival. I think it's like once every 7 years, this is the latest Thanksgiving can fall on. You know what I mean? But I think you got to have Thanksgiving football. It's not just for the team, but for the community. You know, you go to the game, you see everybody wearing their Letterman jackets. You know, you see kids that you haven't seen in, you know, 5-10 years. They're coming back for the game. You know, it's not just the game itself. It's an event. It's an event for every community that's involved. And, you know, I think it would be a shame if they got rid of it.
No, I agree. Everybody gets a chance to play in a Super Bowl or their state championship game. If you're winless, if you have one win and you've had a disappointing season, you've got something really big. You know, your team banquet is, you know, we only won 3 games this year, but we beat our big rival, and you have something to hang your hat on, and you get to play a big game in front of your whole town, and it's a bonding moment. I've probably the last 2 decades have been in the Darien New Canaan game just because it's been the biggest game. So my Advocate years. But I remember when I was at the Advocate, I did the Norwalk and McMahon game. And other than having the Norwalk band at halftime, and they're a great band, but from a sports writer standpoint, the 20 extra minutes of halftime that's not an anti-band comment. That's a sports writer wanting the game to end so you could get done earlier. But it's festive. You have all the recent graduates home. The whole town kind of comes together, and it's kind of a celebration, and it's become part of their Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah, Dave, thank God you weren't around. I don't know if you know this. A long time ago, both bands would perform at halftime. Doesn't matter if you were home or away. So halftime was actually 40 minutes
long. Yeah, actually, that's probably when it was the last game, and it was kind of like it was.
Yeah, but Dave, like we said, it's an event. You know, it's an event centered around, you know, two teams playing football. And you know, like I said, you see people that you haven't seen in years. And, you know, like, you know, when I coached, this is my favorite week also because kids would just show up to practice this week, you know, and it was great, you know, that this program means so much to them that they're taking time to come talk to our kids or just watching practice and then, you know, seeing them in the stands. You know, there's going to be a couple thousand people there on Thanksgiving. It's just great. It's great. And like I said, every single team. And the teams that play Wednesday night, come on. No, stop that nonsense. Wake up Thursday morning, play the game. You know, it's great.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, it's kind of – I don't get the night before and not wanting to play on the holiday. I think that's – that's a little bit of an issue. But we're going to have a bunch of big games on Thanksgiving. We're going to have Staples, Greenwich, and Darien, New Canaan being the big ones. It's been a good show, Sean. I want to thank our guest, Davis Crandall of the Staples football team, and New Canaan girls soccer players Paige Place and Sydney Patton, who are getting ready to get on the bus, and I'm going to go see them in a few hours to try to win the Class L title. Sean, we'll do this again next week.
Sounds good, Dave.
Have a good week, everybody, and thanks for listening to the Rudin Report Live.